The Gulf Coast Growth Show is sponsored by Chevron Pasadena Refinery and is an extension of the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region, where our mission is to market and grow a vibrant regional economy. Hey guys, welcome back to the Gulf Coast Growth Show. I'm your host, Jason Lee, and I'm joined today with my co-host, Zeke Smith.
What's up, Jason? Welcome back.
Glad to be back. And we have Charles Neal, the general manager of the PVOH business unit of Kurari Americas here in, and right here in our hometown,
yes.
Deer Park, LaPorte, really down the street from us. Excited to have you today, Charles. And we're going to talk a little bit about, well, what Kurari does, the products that they make specifically to your unit. And then also, really, I think what's such a misnomer of our industry is the work that's being done to improve our carbon footprint, right? And yeah. So I think people can tend to forget that down here, we actually probably do more work than anybody to really improve what's happening in the carbon space. And so we're excited to kind of hear what you guys are doing and share a little bit about that. And we're really stoked because you have a cool experiment that we're going to share with the audience today. So if you are listening today and you're not on the audio, make sure you get back to the video when you can on our YouTube channel and check it out, because at the end of the show, Charles is going to share some neat stuff with us that he has ready to display for us today. So Charles, before we dive into really what your unit does and a little bit about its background, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got here today.
Thank you for having me on the telecast today. I appreciate the opportunity.
Sure.
So I'm the general manager of the polyvinyl alcohol division of Kurari America. I'm a chemical engineer by degree and came out of Rice University in 1989. Spent time in the Navy, time with Occidental Chemical, and then a whole lot of time with DuPont. Kurari acquired the LaPorte DuPont site in 2014. And I didn't quite come with that acquisition, but I got there just as quickly as I could. It involved moving about two blocks over.
Okay.
But I joined Kurari in 2015 as the technology manager on the site. 2017, I became the LaPorte plant manager, and then 2 years ago, became the general manager.
Nice. Now, for those that are that aren't really familiar with the industry, we were talking a little bit before the show, but your footprint, like, I mean, you run a specific unit, but talk to us about the overall, like, size of Kurari, what they're doing over in that area, and really what all you guys are comprised of.
Okay. So Kurari America is the Americas, North and South American division of Kurari Group, which is the global company based in Tokyo. Kurari America has four plant sites here in the Houston area and a couple of more, West Virginia, North Carolina. But the ones here in Houston are predominantly polyvinyl alcohol and its derivatives. So these are materials that are used in adhesives, in emulsions. It is a great packaging material. It's used in oil and gas. It's a material that has continued to reinvent itself. 100 years ago, it was textile uses. It was a starch replacement. There's another division here in Houston also that's EVAL. It's a premium product. It goes into automobile gas tanks. It's an outstanding oxygen barrier. So food and packaging is a good application there. Hmm. Elastomers is also here in Houston.
Wow.
Anything that you hold that has a rubbery feel, like your toothbrush, almost certainly has an elastomer in it.
Okay.
But those are the Houston area. And then we, in North America, have additional downstream consumers that are also Kurari, but tend to be branded, Monosol being the one that's most closely connected to my business.
Wow. Okay. And so
I'll tell you what, my vocabulary is now expanded just from listening to that segment of Charles's. Thank God we have acronyms and initials here, Charles. Thank goodness.
And I was going to stick with the initials and let the pros, because we tried that beforehand.
Polyvinyl, yeah.
So you were saying early, you guys comprise almost 5 miles of a footprint, right?
Wow. When you look at us from one end to the other here in Houston, there are four different plant sites, three of which are connected by pipelines.
Wow.
In both directions, raw materials and essentially byproducts that go back to the front of the chain, and then tanks on either end that are ready to be loaded onto ocean-going ships.
That's amazing. Okay. So it's its own little mini city.
It is. Yeah. We're vertically integrated and a global.
How many people?
Kurari America is about 850 people. My business unit's about 250
wow.
of those.
Wow. So 850, well, I guess down on that, you also have West Virginia, you say.
So that 850 would be all of the Americas. And then the part that I'm responsible for is about 250.
Well, when you put that into terms in regards to jobs created, we're talking about almost 6,000 jobs probably created within this area just by you guys being here. Mm-hmm. So why would Kurari, why is this such an important area in regards to Kurari's development from a global perspective?
Global perspective, raw materials and energy costs. You can't beat either for price compared to the United States, North America. We're blessed with energy resources and we're blessed with a skilled workforce. And you put on top of that intellectual property rights and a few other things that are important when you're on the cutting edge of chemistry. This is where it's happening. And the industrial renaissance of the United States, I think, is shown in Kurari's acquisition of assets and construction. My Bayport plant is a new facility. It was built, came online in 2015.
Right? Wow. Awesome.
Yeah. And then the access to the materials, right? The port itself, right? Be able to get things in and out quickly and the people to do it. That's great.
So let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned, you gave us kind of a high level around PBOH, but talk to just so our audience understands more in detail about kind of the process of it. Like you mentioned some of the things that it goes into, but give us a little bit of background about where, you know, for example, in your role, what you guys spend time doing and as a GM and how that kind of flows through and trickles down into the things that we do and see in our products every day.
Okay. So the raw material from a chemistry perspective is vinyl acetate monomer. So okay. The LaPorte site is making what we think of as VAM, to use the acronym, but vinyl acetate monomer, VAM. You react it in a polymerization reaction. What comes out is polyvinyl alcohol. And polyvinyl alcohol is one of those very versatile chemicals.
Right.
If I go all the way to a consumer product, so the polyvinyl alcohol is great for barriers. It's great for essentially making a film. One of our captive downstream companies, so we think of Kurari America, Monosol is part of the Kurari family.
Right.
The LaPorte site, the trade name is Elvenol. The Bayport plant site, the trade name is Kurari Povol. These materials come in different grades. They have different properties. Downstream customer Monosol is making a film. Mm. And that film's property that the end use, the customer that is making the product for the consumer, it dissolves in water.
Wow.
And so if you've ever held a Tide Pod, the polymer you're holding is Monosol, made out of Elvenol and Kurari Povol.
Wow.
What's it great for? Well, you throw it in the washing machine. You don't have to deal single use, and it dissolves in the water in the washing machine.
Dishwashing pods, too, I assume.
Dishwashing pods.
Yeah.
But the same exact chemical, it's a starch replacement. So it's used in textile manufacturing.
So it still is at use. You said that's how it began. It's still in
still used there, but the material continues to reinvent itself. Its barrier properties, waterproof, greaseproof. You buy fast food, I guarantee you that paper packaging has a thin layer of PBOH on it somewhere to keep the grease from ending up on your pants.
So Jason, when you're licking the wrapper cheese off that Big Mac, that's what you're
doing. That's what that is.
That's
fantastic.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
what thank you for that. It's delicious.
So where we're going is first and second generation chemicals were very much, they're very good. The properties do what we want, but they tended to do them forever.
Okay.
That's not desirable in society anymore. We want the chemicals to do their job until we don't, and then we want them to go away. And that's where the sustainability, recyclability, compostability, biodegradability, all of those much more green concepts are coming in. And so PVOH is well positioned as a chemical to do that because, among other things, it is water soluble, it is biodegradable. And so our customers, from our perspective, are making products from the consumer which meet those requirements.
Interesting.
And that's, we're on the leading edge of providing the chemistry for, say, sustainable packaging is a good application. If Queen Cleopatra 2000 years ago had gone to Nile.com and bought something, it would have been delivered, let's pretend, with styrofoam packaging,
right?
Those white peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
2000 years later, we'd still be looking at those peanuts. Making a peanut, a packaging peanut, out of something that it does its job, and when we're done with it, we can dispose of it, and it goes away, is the sustainability. It's the third and fourth generation chemistry.
Wow.
That's the experiment at the end, just to show that this packing peanut can be made to go away, and it goes away.
I see that.
Throw it in your garden and it rains, or you water it and it disappears, becomes plant food.
And then you can use some of the other materials that the PV, polyvinyl alcohol makes to seal those packing peanuts to keep them from getting wet, I assume. So you're using the product in many versatile ways. That's the word that keeps coming to my head. Like, sounds like this thing is, and you said reinvent itself. Like, sounds like it's super versatile.
The versatility is,
right.
And the other aspect is, we're very much, even when it looks like it's plastic film, that's your perspective as the customer. The reality is there's probably 5 to 7 layers of different polymers in there, each one contributing its own property. This one stops oxygen. This one stops moisture. This one stops
odor. That's crazy.
But if they're different, fundamentally different chemicals, that can't be recycled. It needs to be the same substrate. It all needs to be the same chemistry in order to be recyclable. Hmm. And PVOH, because of its versatility in the manufacturing, the different grades I was talking about, we can create that full system of packaging that is a single substrate. It therefore recycled.
So does any of the R&D and science behind figuring these things out happen inside the plant environment, or is this stuff taking place in other part, like back in Japan or something?
Japan, in the United States, this is part of the value Karari adds to our customers, is we have tech service and development. So many of our customers, they're distributed. They don't have a big R&D department. They are making a customer product. We are very familiar with what they need by property. And if they have trouble making the chemistry work in their unit, their plant, or their customer, here's what we would like to do for the customer, we in our tech service and development can take that customer desire and turn it into a delight, either new grade or the combination of what we already make.
Wow.
We got chemistry class today. That's good.
Yeah.
You know?
Fantastic.
I wish I would have paid attention more. Like, a little bit.
My brain's toast.
It's super interesting. You deal with these things every day. We've talked with many guests on the show about the products that are made here, and you forget about it all. Again, you mentioned it. Sustainability is a word you use several times, but you mentioned the reputation of our oil and gas petrochem companies is, we're the ones ruining the environment. In fact, doing quite the opposite.
And
preserving is a word I want to use, right?
The vinyl acetate monomer, that's the raw material for this. At LaPorte, we make it for both the Americas and for Europe, from Karari America's perspective. That material does have a significant carbon footprint. How do we make that carbon footprint smaller is the question of the moment.
Right.
And it's quite possible, because ethylene is the raw material that goes into it. And ethylene can be made from renewable carbon sources. It doesn't have to be fossil fuel, hydrocarbon. It can be a renewable carbon source. And if we make ethylene renewably, we'll call that bioethylene, and then use that to manufacture vinyl acetate monomer, now we have BioVam. BioVam can go downstream to bio-PVOH, bio-monosol, all the way to the customer product. The trick in the accounting is we can't follow the molecules. That's unrealistic. We have to follow we come up with a budgeting scheme. If I'm making a kiloton of VAM, 1,000 tons of VAM from renewable ethylene, I need to be able to convince auditors and customers, my regulatory oversight, that I have precisely accounted for it. I'm not following the molecules. I'm just following a block of ethylene that was purchased and consumed. I assign that bio component to this block of VAM, because chemistry is the same. The molecules don't care how they got there.
Right.
That block of sustainably produced VAM becomes sustainably produced PBOH. Hmm. And the ISCC Plus, the International Sustainability and Carbon certificate that we're looking for at the LaPorte site, says that we've been able to do that auditing. We can keep precise records of the ins and the outs and give our customers that confidence that, yes, you can tell your end use, your consumer, this was a bio material, fully sustainable.
So are we saying, Charles, that with less government regulation, you could possibly be more sustainable and environmentally friendly?
It's going to be a combination. Our European colleagues and our Japanese colleagues, the government has a heavy regulatory footprint.
Sure.
United States, if we can do this using capitalism, it'll be much more effective.
Sure.
My son, we'll talk about him some more in a little while, is a budding consumer at 20. And yes, was willing to spend a little bit more for that, you know, do good for the planet.
No doubt.
And
that generation is definitely.
If you're willing to spend a little bit more, that's good, because it is more expensive in order to add that sustainability component to it. But if the customer wants it, we absolutely are going to make it.
And the price will eventually come down, right?
Once you have the demand signal, it starts high, but the demand signal lowers prices.
Yeah, it's like electric cars, you know, they've, over time.
They've new TVs.
New TVs, they've got less expensive. It just continues to get that way as we continue to embrace it. And what's interesting is the U.S., if anybody, is really the front runners and the people who've embraced it the most. I think when we run into issues globally, it's that other countries are not as supportive in regards to getting there faster, right? And so we seem to be leading the way, championing the way.
I think so. And you'll see products on the spectrum.
Right.
The way we currently do it, the high full carbon footprint, is the way the world does it. Creating a low carbon sustainable footprint product, it's a premium product by price, but it will be what differentiates the next generation of chemical company from all the rest.
Gotcha.
And Karari very much wants to be on that spectrum. We're going to produce product for everybody, but if you need it to have the sustainability, the low carbon footprint, that's what we're trying to figure out how to deliver.
Well, before we don't want to run out of time, so let's make sure we jump in and capture any important big news things that Karari has going on, and then I want to make sure we get to your son's story
before
we get in.
So I have responsibilities, commercial and manufacturing. The manufacturing for me is the LaPorte site and the Bayport site. Bayport's a relatively new site, but LaPorte has a big birthday this year. Built as a DuPont asset, it turns 50 years old.
Wow.
And so a 50-year-old plant is, as long as you're treating it right, just as good as a brand new plant, but it does require reinvestment.
Sure.
And Karari has been very good about reinvesting. There's about $50 million of capital that has already been put into the plant, and there's at least that much again that's coming over the next couple of years as we replace some of the very substantial equipment that has just reached end of life.
Sure.
But that is a statement about we're going to be around for a while. We think in 25 and 30 year timeframes. So this is a big investment.
Yeah. And it's news for the market and the industry. Hey, there's work coming at Karari. They're going to be doing revamps and cleaning
up. That's what I was about to say. When you guys spend $50 million, how much of that is, you know, created jobs for the other, you know, partners in the region?
Contractors and
all the subcontractors and everything else. So all that money getting spent just means it's trickling down to local industry and economics. So,
and Chad famously says the 7X, right? For every one job Karari creates for that cleanup project or revamp, if you will, seven other jobs are created for the different contractors and different vendors and things. So we'll end up having a huge impact. Yeah. And you mentioned your son. So let's get to that story. We want to talk about, Karari highlights, let's talk about personal highlights. You were talking before the show, pretty proud of it. So let's talk about your son. Yeah.
So my son, Theodore, is a rising sophomore at Texas A&M. He is in the Corps of Cadets. He followed his mother into that school and that particular student body. But as a rising sophomore, last April, he was tapped on the shoulder to be what's called the mascot corporal, or the first leash, or just the plain old handler. And the question is, well, what's he handling? Well, if you're familiar at all with A&M, they have a mascot who's this beautiful American rough collie named Miss Reveille. And Miss Reveille has been his 24/7 since last April when he became the mascot corporal. So it's been an interesting summer in my household because he came home for the summer with his new girlfriend. And his new four-legged girlfriend, Miss Reveille, is a special dog. And she knows she's a special dog.
A little diva complex, maybe. Yeah. Okay, all right.
We got them back to A&M this week for the start of the fall semester and, of course, fall football. So
so he's going to get some airtime pretty soon.
We didn't get all the details, but I mean, we're talking about a dog that's 10 generations deep, right? So she's the
10th. Miss Reveille.
So that's
they haven't all been related.
You're talking
to
about
each other,
almost,
right,
yes. And they typically have a 10-year run. So we're talking about almost 100-year-plus tradition of this dog, which is amazing to think about. And then, so she's got a plane. She's got everything that you can imagine. So it's not roughing it. But when you think about the responsibility, though, if you really think of, you're talking about the mascot for when, if you ever, we've all probably been there, right? To witness and experience an A&M game, especially the Corps of Cadets, such an honor. But then to have your son get the opportunity to be the guy, right? Like, I mean, that's carrying.
I was going to say, hopefully Theodore wasn't a cat guy before this, right?
Yeah.
you had dogs in your house.
Both ways. Okay. We have a dog and we had a cat while he was growing up. But, yes.
Well, that's awesome.
It's quite special. We're quite proud of him, obviously, to pop as a father. And I'm not an Aggie. So I have a t-shirt that says I married into this.
Yeah, yeah. Very good. Yeah. I mean, he's going to get a lot of TV time with A&M games.
So he gets a lot of TV time.
Maybe his knees will get his boots will maybe shine.
There he is. That's his shoes.
Yeah. His boots will get some TV time.
Well, congratulations. That was a proud papa moment. And we're glad to be able to share that. And it really, the science behind it all, I think this was a fun episode because so many of us just get wrapped up in driving by these plants, these refineries every day. We look at the stacks, we look at the metal, we look at all the stuff going on, but we lose sight of just the intricacies behind what's taking place and then how much it just flows through to what we do every single day. And so really a great opportunity. I've been watching the show Breaking Bad, which is about chemistry.
The dark side of chemistry.
And I was like, as you're talking, I'm like, amazing. I was like, I want to go compare notes when I'm watching. I was like, did he say anything that Walter's saying?
Who would have thunk that Dumb and Dumber over here, we got an interesting chemistry lesson today.
Yeah, exactly.
Great job.
This is fantastic.
And congrats to Theodore, by the way. I want to make sure we give him a shout out. Yeah. So that's awesome.
I can't wait to lick the wrapper of my Big Mac later.
There you go. The wrapper cheese. Carrari. PVOH, man.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. So for, again, audience, I would encourage you, stick around right now. We're going to shift the show and touch and go over Charles's experiment. He's going to show us a little bit about what you guys do. So we're excited for that, first time ever on the show that we'll have that. So again, if you're listening on audio, I would encourage you to go back to the video, check it out later
on YouTube,
on our YouTube channel.
So you're packing peanuts. This was made out of styrofoam, and we realized that styrofoam lasts forever. So what can we do that accomplishes the same thing? It provides the insulation, it provides the protection, but when we're done with it, it goes away. PVOH and a little bit of starch gives the solution. And when you put it in water, no more packing peanut. There's a little bit of cellulose, that's plant matter. So the idea is the idea is just take your packing peanuts when you're done with the packaging, put them in your garden or your flower bed or your yard, and turn on sprinkler or wait for the rain.
Huh.
And it will become plant food or whatever it's on top of and disappears as the storm passes.
That's interesting. So not just biodegradable, like it's actually plant food.
Biodegradable, compostable, recyclable. Yeah. It is a great solution. Don't stop at packing peanuts. If you shape it differently, you have the full insulation for a box.
Guys, thank you again for tuning in today. Again, Zeke Smith, my co-host, Jason Lee, we're excited to have you today. And Charles, you were great. Great experiment. Love seeing it. And we hope to have you again on the show sometime.
Thanks, Charles.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for tuning in, and be sure to go to the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region website and subscribe to our channels. And let's pay it forward by sharing the good news of what's happening in our region by passing this episode to somebody you know.